Well, hello, and thank you for joining us. This is Coach Chris Wilson with Team Critical Bench, and on the line today we have Mr. Nate Miyake, and he is the author of Feast Your Fat Away, and I got that right, didn't I, Nate?
Yeah, you did. Yep.
Okay, good. I always have a tendency to put extra words into things. Nate has a lot of great nutritional information, advice, and know-how, and Critical Bench wanted to just speak with him for a little bit, just to get inside his brain a little bit. And so, Nate, if you could, go ahead and just share with us kind of your, maybe like a quick background, what brought you to this point to create this most recent book.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks a lot for having me, man. I'm a huge fan of Critical Bench, so yeah, it's a true honor to be here. So, my background, it's I'm pretty much obsessed with fitness since a young age, but I'll spare you all the details. Kind of formal education. I studied like post bacc in kinesiology, but I right from the beginning, I got way more involved in the nutrition side of things. So, you know, all my continuing education for, you know, training certs and all that have been focused on nutrition, just because realizing the importance of it. From a kind of a practical background, I've competed in some natural bodybuilding events, done a few fitness modeling gigs just for some side money. I used to train in pro wrestling, so kind of have that interesting tidbit. And then But most of my career has been coaching. So coaching clients from a wide variety of lifestyles, professions, and ages, from you know, competitive athletes to mostly now busy professionals. And that kind of was the one goal I had, is making fitness and kind of just being in year-round shape doable for a busy professional who's also interested in fitness. I think a lot of the plans out there are great if you're a competitive athlete, but they're not exactly sort of practical, functional, sustainable for a busy professional with a family and a social life who wants to be in great shape basically year round. So that's kind of where I got to now. And I've been writing in the industry now for close to 5 years. So, you know, for various magazines and websites and stuff. So it kind of just one thing led to another. And after I wrote a few articles and got them going, people are like, hey, you need to write a book, man. You need to get this down into a book. So that's kind of the short version of where I got to, where we are today, and where, and how this product was sort of formulated.
Awesome. No, I've spent some time on your site here, just trying to get to know you a little bit more. Obviously, we have a phenomenal relationship with Adam Steer with Shapeshifter Media, and that's your publisher. And how'd you end up getting connected with such a reputable, top-notch publishing company?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things where I had been writing for the magazines, and I knew my theories were strong. I had the science background, and I'd helped the people who had found my work. But I also realized kind of my business skill set, my marketing skill set was where I was lacking. And I'm just like, you know what, I need to focus on what I do best, which is create content and coach, and I need to partner with someone who kind of understands this stuff. And one thing led another. I just started asking around, and their name just kept on coming up. And through another friend, a colleague of mine at my training studio, he had worked with Adam's partner Ryan, and said, hey, yeah, they're great guys. They got this really cool publishing company going. They put out quality work. That was another thing too. I had been, you know, there was definitely publishers who seemed like they were successful, but they were kind of shady, and they just wanted to go about it in the wrong way. So, you know, found them, talked to them, hooked up with them, and seemed to be a great fit. They seemed to be, you know, really reputable. And so that's kind of how I connected with them. And I can tell you, it's been the best decision that I've made, just the direction they've given me in terms of streamlining my content. If you know me, like, I tend to overwrite and just overtalk, and so the direction that they've given me in terms of creating a great product has been awesome. You know,
that sounds very similar to me. I'm a content guy here at Critical Bench, and I need direction with kind of staying on point and not going off in multiple directions. So I think we realize that in business, and to be really successful, you do need to partner up with somebody else, because we have weaknesses, but we should focus our energy on our strengths. And like you said, you know, you're a content guy. You know your topic, and you went to the people who can get the word out for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Not to change topics, or, you know, but I'm out here in Silicon Valley, and I train a bunch of successful entrepreneurs and startup guys, and they've been telling me, I was stubborn, it took me a while to hear, but they're like, man, you know, strategic partnerships are the way to go in business, because then you can just really focus on what you're good at, and then everyone benefits, to the customer, to you, to your partners. Everyone benefits because they get the best possible, you know, product, with a team working on it. So that's what I'm really excited about. Cause I had earlier manifestations of this book before and tried to release it myself. And, you know, for people who follow me for a while, they know that, but this really is like kind of the culmination of that. I mean, the direction, like I said, they gave me, we created various components of this product that just address almost every possible angle of nutrition, from, you know, the baseline plan to how what you do when you travel, to how do you incorporate alcohol, and you know, what to do at a coffee shop, you know, what to do if you need a quick fix, all these things. Like, they just like, hey, and when as the emails were going back and forth, I'm like, man, this thing is like my book on steroids, basically.
That's awesome. Well, I'm just so happy for you that you were able to connect with them, and we know how good that they are, and we've formed a really terrific relationship with them over the years, and I couldn't be happier working for who I work for, a close personal friend who I've seen come up through the ranks over the years, and I've helped him out here and there, and now to be here full time and being able to, you know, get in touch with folks like yourself who have great, great messages, and we get to promote you. You know, that's what's so awesome. So let's get down to just some nutrition basics, because you know, just looking at some of the things that you have on your own site, which I'm sure you go into quite a bit with Feast Your Fat Away. You know, there's that book out there, Eat More, Weigh Less. But I think Americans generally think eat less, weigh less, and they couldn't kind of be any further from the truth. Could you kind of talk about that topic briefly?
Yeah. A lot of it is the main kind of component of the plan is eating big at night, and we do some things with sort of the diet structure and the meal frequency and distribution to allow people to do that. Most of the plans out there, man, they sound good on paper, but they never work in the real world, because they try to get people to do what is exactly opposite of what our instinct is to do, based on, you know, our evolution, is to basically eat big once a day. Feast is what we call it. You know what I'm saying? Is that most diet plans try to get people to work against that, and so they're trying to eat these small meals and, you know, cut carbs at night and starve at night, and you know what, not even fitness competitors can stick to that as a long-term plan. That's their in-season plan. Off-season, you see a lot of them rebounding and yo-yoing, but most people who are not in the fitness world, competitive fitness world, they can't freaking stick to those plans as a long-term plan. So what we try to do is basically a lot for that with the diet structure, is to allow people to say, listen, no, you get to eat big at least once a day and be satiated and satisfied and not feel like you're dieting. And what happens is, man, people just like, this is the greatest, easiest diet I've ever done. I can stick to it as a lifestyle plan. And of course, their adherence rates and results skyrocket once we account for that in the diet. So that's kind of the thing, man, is I'm telling people to do the reverse. It's like, no, eat big, man. Eat big. Even if it's just once a day, you'll just feel so much better. You'll perform better. You'll look better. And you'll see it as a lifestyle plan.
Right. And that's where, you know, people end up kind of failing themselves is they think that, you know, they're drawn to this eat 4, 5, 6 meals a day, like you've said in some previous things, you know, bring your Tupperware with you to work. How realistic is that for the masses? It's really not. I mean, and
right.
for the long term, who's going to stick with that? I mean, most people, they skip breakfast because they just don't make time for it, and by lunchtime, they're absolutely starving. So, go ahead and eat a big lunch, but just be, you know, make smart decisions, right? I mean, it's really what it comes down to. Make smart decisions at lunch and be smart at dinner, but if you need to eat a 1,000-calorie meal, do it.
Right, yeah, and I think that's the thing that really separates this product, too, is that, you know, most fitness guys, most diet books and stuff, they focus on the physiology of the diet first. And that's great, and it looks great, and you know, research abstracts and all these things, but doesn't always work in the real world. Whereas you know, I tend to look at things from a practicality and sustainability standpoint first, then look at the physiology. Now, don't get me wrong, that you know, a lot of the sort of meal frequency and food distribution traditions that are out there are complete myths when you actually look at the science behind it, but. Regardless, even if it was superior, who cares if it doesn't work in the real world? So
right.
I tend to look at it at first from like, hey, what's going to work in the real world first, and then try to look more into the science and just make sure it's going to yield optimal results. But you know, I tend to take it from a different approach, and it seems to have worked. And like I said, what the funny thing is, once you dive into the science, you realize that a lot of the things that are sort of tradition are actually myths.
Right, and that kind of leads me to my next question: is how we've evolved in terms of becoming smarter when it comes, you know, over the last, let's say, 50 years, 50 to 100 years, we've become smarter in a lot of ways in terms of understanding our health and understanding fitness, but yet we've gone backwards in so many ways with obesity being such a growing problem, especially here in the United States. What's your take on that?
Well, I think a lot of it is people tend to focus on there's just so much information out there right now with the internet and stuff, right? Like, people focus on minor details that yield less than 5% of results, and because there's so much information, they lose sight of the basics that actually give us 95% of the results. I mean, so in terms of your question, like, you know, I see people focusing on like the polyphenol content of blueberries, and so they go and eat a blueberry muffin to get their polyphenols from blueberries. It's like it's ridiculous. You're focusing on, you know, I don't care whether you eat, you know, blueberry, you know, polyphenols or not. I care whether you're eating a refined muffin at breakfast or not. You know what I'm saying? So people, especially, you know, fitness magazines, our industry, right? They always have to keep on pumping out new content, right? So it tends to get more and more into the obscure and to the minor details, and then ultimately to the irrelevant, you know, details. And people lose sight of the big picture basics, like that produce the majority of our results. So, you know, that's where I see the major problem is we actually try to simplify it in my book. Yeah, there's technical science behind it, but again, we're not trying to sound smart in a classroom. We're trying to give people practical strategies that they can actually get real world results with. So although we're getting more into the science of it, as coaches, we need to actually work on simplifying that science down into practical strategies.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, because let's face it, the science is necessary, especially for you guys that are, the authors and doing all the research and stuff. But people don't want science; they just want results. So the more simple you can relay the message to them, the better off you are, and not coming at it with some unique angle, like you were saying, what's the new trend? What's the new fad?
Right.
You want to give them something that's actually, like you say, sustainability. You can eat like this for the rest of your life and not have to stress about it, and you're going to get the results that you want. So
And I think a lot of it is coach. A lot of these coaches and stuff, they use science to purposely confuse people, and it's, I don't know whether it's to like stroke their own egos or make them codependent on them, or just, they fucking love to jerk off after winning a forum debate or something. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, we need to freaking start simplifying this shit for people,
No, I absolutely hear you. And that's why we like your message, because it's so sensible. And I think for people that have been around the fitness world long enough, they realize it. We almost we take it for granted what we know just from things that we've read and being around it every day. And you got this most people don't work in the fitness industry. I mean, in the way that we do, and they don't know all this insider information. So I mean, this is eye opening for a lot of people. Whereas for me, I'm not. If I eat only three meals in a day or something, I'm not miserable. I'm fine. Was it good quality food? Was it calorie rich food that wasn't cupcakes, ice cream, cookies, snack bars, sugary drinks? Was it avocados and nuts and fruits and fish, chicken, whatever? It's and I don't care when I eat it. It's just, did I get it in my body that day, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's why we try to use personally in my coaching, I try to use simple templates just to cut through the bullshit and the complexity and give people strategy. So that's why, honestly, that's why I love the paleo diet as a general approach, specifically for sedentary demographics, because it really just simplifies it down to like, listen, what's the main problem? It's not carbs versus fats. It's real food versus refined food. So the paleo diet gives people a simple template and an easy educational tool to basically take some high-level steps in improving both their health and body composition. We modify that in the book for athletes because I don't believe it's a great approach for more regular exercises, athletes and strength trainers. So what I use is a little biased, but I use what's called a Japanese village diet template, which is basically the same thing. We just add some starches in there to support anaerobic training. But like you said, it really is all that science boils down to some simple strategies, and that's why we try to use basically templates to get people to understand that and to give them some strategies.
Right. I think that there's such a misconception in the world, or at least in our country, about what's healthy and what isn't. What's a healthy choice versus an unhealthy choice? And we've been sold the message for so many years in our culture about refined things and processed things being good, smart choices. And and I'm so glad that you mentioned things like paleo. I mean, obesity wasn't an issue hundreds of years ago. It just wasn't.
No, yeah, it's absolutely.
There weren't people walking around 200 pounds overweight. It didn't happen because there was no way to get to that point. People only had, natural things from the earth, things that grew from the ground, things that ran across the field, things that swam in the water. They didn't have this big industry to like make all this chemically enhanced stuff, which is just taking everybody down.
Absolutely. You get through the marketing at all and the sort of the political influence and you get down to some common sense, it's actually nutrition's pretty simple, man. It's not rocket science, man. It's nutrition. It's biochemistry. It's physiology. It's not that complicated when you can get through all the marketing fluff that's out there. And honestly, that's why I chose an alternative route. I was accepted into a master's program in nutrition, which was leading towards a dietitian basically credential. But as I started looking through the curriculum, I'm like, this is all just like archaic and politically influenced stuff, and it's stuff I don't believe in, and I'm not going to go get this credential just so I can, please some governing body. I'm gonna kind of take my own route and find my own path and give people what I think is more, accurate and truthful information. So I think there's people out there doing that, and that's connected with guys like you and Adam and stuff like that. So it's great. That's what people need. They need to understand that what they hear through mainstream channels is highly biased and politically influenced and basically just flat out wrong.
Yeah. Wow. I couldn't agree with you more. I applaud your efforts for kind of going your own road with it, because it's so true. As somebody put something sweet right in front of me, oddly enough, we just celebrated a birthday here at Critical Bench, not mine, but the founder of Critical Bench just got a year older, and one of my coworkers got something sweet for us to enjoy. So there's extra running and lifting going on this week to
And that's the thing, buddy, like that's the thing is I'm not after crazy obsessive fitness person competition diets that, end up doing a lot of damage anyways. I'm about sustainable lifestyle plans, and birthdays are always a cheat day. So there's cheat days in the program to make sure that you don't have to give any food you love up, you love indefinitely. You get to account for, social events like birthdays and weddings, and we even have a holiday guide with this program. Like we're after sustainable lifestyle plans, not one of these like fixed competition diets where, you basically live like a social hermit for 4 months to get in shape for one day. I'm after a lifestyle plan, and that's what I believe in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so much more realistic. I mean, people are going to have special occasions where they go out to dinner, and they're going to, life gets in the way of these extreme, these extreme diets. So you have to have the balance. I personally have what I call like my own 80-20 rule. You gotta eat well 80% of the time. So 20% of the time, you don't have to worry about whatever you're putting in your system.
I agree with that, man. I agree with that. Absolutely. And that actually gets people over. When people think of it, it's either 100% on or 100% off, they never get started, right? Because they keep blowing it, and they're like, okay, I'll start again tomorrow. I'll start again next
right.
week, blah, 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 blah.
I'll wait till January 1st. That's always
right,
the thing,
right? Because they're trying to implement a plan that's impractical in the first place, where if you say, no, listen, 80-20 rule, things like that, it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I can do this. And then what ends up happening is they end up actually getting started and realizing it's not as hard as they think. They get over that initial hump that a lot of people can't get over. And then they're like, wow, oh, I can eat like this. I can, get to the gym or whatever. It's like it making it not an extreme approach in the end makes it way more doable for people.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Just to kind of wrap it up a little bit, but also just to, obviously our hope, especially yours, is that people will wake up and see the light and see, a smart choice over a silly choice
right.
just an intelligent food option over something that's just obviously not good for them. And do you see that problem getting better or worse in the next decade and beyond that?
I think it depends on who you're learning from. I think, like I said, I think a lot of coaches are out there now purposely trying to confuse people to make them codependent on them, really. Whereas my approach has always been to empower people. You know what I mean? I want to teach you some strategies, and then I want you to go out and live your life and get great results and, you know, keep me up to date and all that stuff, but I don't want you dependent on me. You know, I'd rather go out and live my life too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it just really depends on who you're learning from. And I think if you can find the coaches who are really dead set on empowering you instead of making you codependent, I think those, you know, not to toot my own, those guys are gems, man, because they're hard to find. They really are. And unless you have a strong filter, it's easy to get misled in this industry. So, you know, my advice is be careful who you learn from.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And it seems like this problem is really, really in our country, because there are other parts of the world where heart disease,
yeah,
and all these other things are like not even on the radar, just because,
right,
people are just making, there might be other environmental problems that they're dealing with, but when it comes to food and the choices that people are making, they're not waking up one day 50 to 100 pounds overweight.
Right.
You know, it's like the American culture has become so dependent on the fast food and the quick meal, and I can't make time for this, so I'll spend less money on this and eat it faster, and who knows if it's even good for me or not. I'm not even gonna, you know,
yeah,
do any research.
Yeah, no, I think really is what I think we do well in the book is we look at different cultures and we look at why, you know, some of them are, you know, so much healthier than, you know, the typical, you know, YKK American diet. You know, we not only the Japanese culture, but, you know, we mentioned that, you know, Katavan diet, you know, traditional Hawaiian diet, all these things. My wife's Hawaiian. So, you know, I like to look back. I tell people, just look back far enough in your culture and you'll find the answers regardless of your culture. The funny thing, it doesn't, and all these different cultural studies and you know, anthropology and stuff, none of it comes down to, you know, calories and macronutrients and things, you know, which are important for higher level physiques, but for most people, it really comes down to real food versus refined, you know, and it really is just eating more natural foods, cutting out processed foods. And then for me, the key for me is getting people on a practical and sustainable diet structure that allows them to do that. And that's what I think we've, you know, highlighted with our approach, is that, listen, six small meals a day and starving at night is not going to allow you to do that. What is, you know, maybe perhaps reducing meal frequency to 2 to 3 and eating a big satiating dinner at night. And that really, that structure, it really allows people to make that shift into eating more, you know, natural, healthy foods and things like that. So, I think that's it, you know.
I love it. Well, that falls right in line with how I've gone about eating just over recent years, and not feeling guilty having a big salad at 9:30 at night with,
right,
you know, with a piece of chicken on it, or, you know, if I'm hungry and I had something small at 6 o'clock, you know, with my son, and then go through the whole putting him to sleep process, and then I'm hungry again at 9:30. You know, a cake and ice cream probably should, you know, on occasion, but for the most part, try and fill that hunger with some good quality calories, and I go to bed satiated, like you said, and there's no guilt. And
yeah,
I'm not,
yeah,
you know, and I'm maintaining the weight I want to be at. I mean, so it's just cool. I'm so happy to get you on the line today and to be able to discuss your book and Feast Your Fat Away, Mr. Nate Miyake. And am I saying it right? Is it Miyake or Miyake?
No, Miyake. You got it.
Miyake.
Right,
all
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have questioned myself.
It's like Mr. Miyagi, but without.
Oh, it's almost like Miyagi. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Okay. So there you go. That's what I tell people. They get it right away.
I love it. I didn't even put that together. It's one of my favorite movies. Okay, cool. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. So happy to be able to speak with you, and we wish you nothing but success. And I hope just about everybody in the world somehow comes across this and learns from it and improves their life because of it. So thank you so much, Nate, and we wish you well, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me again, man. Really appreciate it.
All righty. My pleasure.